Well, welcome back, as today we are wrapping up this conversation, God is for us. If you haven't been with us, I highly encourage you, go back. Make sure you go back and listen to these conversations because we've been walking through some of the most powerful ways that God is pursuing us, fighting for us. And I hope as we've walked through this, that has been incredibly encouraging for you. I hope as we've walked through this, that this has further solidified you in God's love and the amazing way that He cares for us, that you are in awe of Him. More than anything, I hope that that's true, that you are in awe of the way that He is so passionately for us. But today, as we come to a close, I want to do something a little bit different, because I want to share with you something that I've been working through, something that I've been struggling with for the past couple months here, that I've been asking myself, if you will, a question that I've been asking. And it's come out of both our Bible reading plan that we've been walking through in the mornings on the Anthony and Chris show, but then also this conversation of God is for us, because I realized as we were walking through the New Testament this year, I realized that I think in the past, there's a question that I've answered in the wrong way, that I've been wrong about. And the question is actually a question that I've heard asked multiple times, because people are trying to make a point about how amazing God is. And so they'll ask this question. They'll say, well, How do you think Paul would feel, Paul, the individual who wrote a huge chunk of the New Testament, how do you think Paul would feel if he were to see Rome today? How do you think Paul would feel if he were to enter Rome today? Now, let me give you a little bit of background on that, because you have to understand, Paul is the individual who took the message of Jesus to the majority of the Roman Empire. He was the one who took the message of Jesus all through the countryside and planted all these different churches that was a huge part of the beginning of this movement called the church. Now, Paul didn't always follow Jesus. As a matter of fact, early on, he tried to destroy the church, but then he experiences Jesus in this remarkable way. It changes his entire life. He works tirelessly to bring the message of Jesus to the Roman Empire. He's actually put to death by the Roman Empire because of it. And when Paul dies, Rome is in its glory. Rome is huge. Rome is powerful. Rome is significant. And so the question is asked, what do you think? How do you think Paul would feel if he were to see Rome today? If he were to see the Colosseum in ruins, this place where he saw people be put to death because of the fact that they were followers of Jesus, if he were to see this place in ruins, and not just that, on the front of the Colosseum today, there's a cross, not as a symbol of Roman power, but as a symbol of the message of Jesus. How do you think he would feel? And I've heard this question asked many times, and people will say, man, he would be blown away. I mean, he would be so shocked to see Rome covered in crosses, because if you've ever been to Rome, you know they're everywhere, but not as a symbol of Roman power and dominance, but as a symbol of the message of Jesus. And every time I've heard the question asked, I've thought, and those who've asked the question have said, man, Paul would be blown away. He would be shocked. But then as we walk through the New Testament this year, and as we were working specifically through Paul's letters to the churches, as I was listening to him write to these churches and hearing what he said, all of a sudden one day I thought, I'm wrong. I think I'm wrong. I think our assumption is wrong. Because we've assumed that he would be shocked. But as I read through his letters, I thought to myself, I don't think so. I actually don't think he'd be shocked at all. Because as I read through his letters, it hit me. He expected it. When you read what he wrote I mean, this is the individual who wrote this to the Ephesians. Listen to what it says. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. He's speaking about God. He says, you have to understand this about God. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. And this isn't the only place where he talks like this. He talks like this all the time. And he says, no, wait. Whatever your expectation is, God's going to do something greater than that. Whatever it is that you're asking for, God's going to do something better than that. Whatever it is that you're imagining, God's going to do something better than that. I don't think for a second that Paul would be shocked. I think he expected it. I don't think he thought Rome was going to last. He definitely didn't think Rome was going to outlast the message of Jesus. And he moved and he lived his life in such a way that you can see, no, he expected it. He expected the message of Jesus to be unstoppable. As I read through his letters, I realized, no, our assumption is wrong. He wouldn't be shocked. He might walk in and say, well, I didn't expect it to necessarily work out that way. But I absolutely expected that the message of Jesus would be unstoppable. I'm not shocked by that. I'm not shocked that Rome fell. No. He expected it. And as I realized that my assumption was wrong, I had to ask the question, why? Why did I assume that he would be shocked? And as I worked through that, I realized, well, the reason that I assumed that he would be shocked is because I would have been shocked. And I think even as I asked the question earlier, for some of you who heard it for the first time, maybe you thought the same thing. Man, he would be shocked because, well, I think for many of us, we would be shocked. Which then forced me to ask another question. Why do I think I would be shocked and he wouldn't? What is it, more specifically, what is it that I expect God to do? Do I look at God as someone who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine? As I engage my life, is this how I live? When I look at what's happening in the world around me, do I expect the message of Jesus to win or Rome? Do I engage life like this? And make no mistake about it, I believe as you read through not just Paul's letters to the churches, but even as you read through Acts and the story of Paul's missionary journeys, I think you see someone who expected. He expected for God to work and move in ways that were beyond what he could even imagine. He expected it. As a matter of fact, I think he'd tell you, no, I didn't just expect it. I bet my life on it. I bet my life on it. Which has forced me over the past several weeks to ask this question. What do I expect? What do I expect for God to do in our community? What do I expect for God to do in the lives of my kids? What do I expect God to do in the lives of those around me? What do I expect God to do in my marriage? What do I expect God to do in me? What's my expectation? And if God were to work and move, would I be Would I be shocked? Or would I say, no, he's able to do immeasurably more. He's consistently shown he does immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine. Let me ask you, what do you expect God to do? What do you expect God to do in you? As you move forward on this journey, what are you expecting for him to do? What are you expecting for him to do inside of your relationships? What are you expecting for him to do? What's your expectation? Do you have an expectation? We've talked about how God is for us, how he's working and moving. Do you expect that to happen? It's been a question that's really sifted me. And I've been working through, okay, what does it look like to change that expectation? And make no mistake about it. I'm not talking about circumstances here. Because God doesn't promise that the circumstances are all going to line up. He's not promising that your kid's going to get into that college or that this is going to happen over there. As a matter of fact, God says, no. Your joy is divorced from, your contentment is divorced from circumstance. And I promise you, as I'm working in your life, I don't promise you that the circumstances are all going to be perfect. I don't promise you that. As a matter of fact, God actually promises that the circumstances aren't going to be perfect. Listen to me. If you live your life with your joy tied to circumstances, you are going to be miserable. And you are not going to like the people around you. Because here's the thing. Just when the circumstances are close to being right, the people around you are going to screw it all up. And some of you live your life angry at the people around you because you're so close. You're so close. And you just think, man, if the circumstances could be perfect, then I'd be happy, then I'd have joy, then I'd be able to rest. And so you have this amazing day at work. And this happens to me. You have this amazing day at work and you're crushing it, everything's going perfect. You're like, man, this is gonna be an amazing evening. And you walk in. And my kids, they don't do it often. But it seems, especially on those really good days, they have the ability to destroy that moment in 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, I'm like, are you serious? I mean, this was supposed to be an amazing day. And now this is, or things are going really well at home. And finally, things are coming together. And you walk into work and find out that you've been transferred to a new department and your boss is an idiot. Or things went so well on that date, and things are going so well in that relationship. Things are coming together, and you walk in the front door, and your roommate has destroyed the place. You're like, are you serious? Are you serious? If you live your life with the expectation of circumstances, that the circumstances are going to work out, that they're going to align, that your joy is tied to that, you are going to be miserable. And God doesn't step into our lives and say, this is what you can expect. You can expect for me to work out all the circumstances. That's not what he says. As a matter of fact, as you step into our lives, he says, you need to understand what's most important because you need to understand what it is that I'm working for in your life. As a matter of fact, Paul, as he writes to the Philippians, he specifically talks to them about this. Listen to what he says in Philippians chapter 1. He says, for I want you to understand what really matters. A couple years ago, we walked through this in depth here at Hoboken Grace. He says, I want you to understand what really matters, what's most important. And then he shares with them the three things that are most important. He shares the first one in chapter 1. He says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped me to spread the good news. He says, most important thing is that I'm able to share with the world the truth of who Jesus is, that I'm able to bring more people into this relationship with God. This is the most important thing. And then in chapter 2, he continues. He talks about the next thing that's most important. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. He says, I want for you to become like Jesus. God's working for you to become like Jesus, for you to experience that fruit of God's Spirit in your life, for you to be able to bring that to the world around you, bring love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all those things, so many of them, the things that we think we're going to experience if the circumstances are perfect, patience, kindness, peace. He says, no, God's working for you to become like Jesus so you can experience that fruit of God's Spirit in your life and bring that to those around you. And then number 3, as he continues, he says this. He says, yes, everything else is worthless compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. And he talks about the third most important thing, which is knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, which he actually says the most important thing is that I would know him, that I truly know him, not just know about him. So many of us know about Jesus, but we don't actually know him. He says, no, I want for you to know him. For you to know what it's like to live life and never be alone. Literally never be alone. Why? Because he's with you and you know him and you walk with him. He says, I want you to know what's most important. Well, why do I want you to know what's most important? Because I want you to understand. I want you to understand that God is working for these things in your life. And when you take hold of this, this is why later on in the book, he says this. He says, not that I was ever in need, for I've learned how to be content with whatever I have. He says, when you understand this, when you understand that God's working for what's most important, that God is relentless with what's most important. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. You're actually able to engage circumstances of every shape, size, variety. Paul was able to engage circumstances that were so different and still be able to experience that joy. And I know sometimes this word contentment, I don't know why it is, but I think sometimes inside of our culture, we think of contentment as a boring feeling. Contentment, as you read through this book, is not a boring thing. He's talking about the joy of his faith. He's talking about an excitement about what God is doing. And he says, I've learned how to be able to experience that no matter what's happening, no matter what the circumstances. Because you see, I have this unbelievable expectation. I have this unbelievable expectation that no matter the circumstances, God's working for what's most important in my life. And God is relentless, relentless when it comes to people understanding what Jesus has done for them. Paul, are you surprised that the message of Jesus spread like wildfire through Rome? No. Why? Because God is relentless about people knowing what Jesus has done for them. And I expect it. I expected that to happen. I expected for people to become like Jesus. I expected for God to work, for people to know him and experience that relationship. I expected that. Let me ask you, What do you expect? What do you expect? Do you expect for God to use you to take his message to the world around you? Do you expect for God to work in you, for you to become more like him, to take to the world more of his love and joy and peace and patience and kindness? Do you expect? For him to work, for you to know him better. The thing that Paul says, everything else is worthless compared to for you to know him better. Do you expect that? Let me make it a little more personal. As we move through the next 2 months and the uncertainty of the next two months, do you expect God to work in that? Are you moving into the next 2 months with a sense of expectation? You say, Chris, the next 2 months could be crazy. I don't know what this is going to look like. I know. Paul lived every day of his life that way. Every day of his life. And he moved into every one of those circumstances with expectation. I'm telling you, read through his letters. He moved into them with expectation. And those circumstances were crazier than even the circumstances we find ourselves in now. And he still engaged them with this unbelievable sense of expectation. What do you expect God to do as you walk through the next 2 months? He tells you what he's going to do. I'm gonna open doors for you to share the message of my son with the world around you. I'm gonna use all of it for that. I'm gonna use it for that which is most important. I'm gonna use it for you to become more like me. Do you expect God to use the next couple months to do that in you? Do you expect that Or will you be shocked by it? Do you expect him to use it for you to know him better? You see, Paul could move in every situation with excitement because there was an expectation. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know how it's going to work out. But I know one thing. God's going to work for what's most important in my life. I know it. I expect it. And make no mistake about it. Listen to me. Expectation is very important because attitude impacts action. We all understand that. How you walk into the attitude that you walk into work with, it impacts your action, doesn't it? It impacts your performance. It impacts how you engage the entire day. Expectation is very important because how you move into the next few months will drastically impact what you experience, what your experience is through those next few months. And Paul says, no, we can move into every circumstance with amazing expectation because we know that he's working for what's most important, that he's relentless in this. What's your expectation? It's going to impact how you pursue him. It's going to impact how you prioritize him. It's going to impact where you see him. Because when you expect to see God working, it's amazing. It's amazing how much more often you see God working. But when you don't, oftentimes, even what he's doing, we miss it. What's your expectation? And here's the really interesting thing. Listen to what he says. Early on, even before he begins to talk about what's most important, listen to what he says to the Philippians. He says, "And I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." He says, and listen. God is going to finish what it is that he started. But before I even get into this, I want you to understand something. God is going to finish what he started. And if you're a part of this relationship with him, if you stepped into this relationship with Jesus, I want you to understand something. This is a promise that God has made to you, that he will finish what it is that he started. And God says, no, this is going to happen, which again is why Paul has that expectation. This is going to happen, which means, listen to me, which means that how you engage it isn't going to change the outcome, but it is going to change your experience of it along the way. It's not going to change what it is that God's eventually going to be able to do. It may change the timeline. It may change how you experience it. As a matter of fact, it definitely will change how you experience it. And we get to choose. Do we move into it with expectation and excitement? Okay, God, how is this going to work? Or do we run from it? Do we avoid it? Do we move into it with fear? And God's saying, no, wait, come here. When it comes to what's most important, I want you to know something. I'm relentless. And I want for you to not just experience, I want for you to not just experiencing me finishing this. I want for you to experience it with me the entire journey. I want you to experience it with energy, with excitement about what I am doing, what I'm going to do. So let me ask you again. What do you expect God to do? What do you expect? I'm convinced that Paul, if he were to walk into Rome today, would say, I'll be honest with you, I didn't know how it was going to work out. I didn't know what it was going to look like. But I expected I expected God to work and move beyond what I could imagine, beyond what I could ask for. I expected God to do that. And it's my hope, it's my prayer that as we've been walking through all of these different ways that God is for us, all these different ways that God pursues us, that as we come to this point and we look at all that God has told us about Him, it's my hope that we would move forward in the very same way. It's my prayer that we would move forward with this incredible expectation that if God is for us, then who can be against us? And honestly, I don't know what it will look like. I don't know how it's going to work out. I don't know how He's going to use this moment for me to share Christ with the world around me. I don't know how He's going to use the next couple months for me to become more like Him. I don't know how He's going to use it for me to know Him better. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I expected it. As a matter of fact, and this is my prayer, that we would be able to say what Paul said. As a matter of fact, I bet my life on it. And I gave my life for it. May we be able to say the same. And may we experience the relentless love of God and all the different ways that He is for us. Will you pray with me? Father, it's amazing to talk through this, and there's something inside of us that as we move into the future, we're rather than being excited, we're hesitant because of the fact that I think sometimes we focus on circumstance instead of what's most important, and I think also we continue to struggle to believe that You are this good, that you are this loving, that you care this much. And I pray that we would continue to be overwhelmed. And Father, I pray that we would lean into that, that we would move forward with incredible expectation of how You're going to do that and what that's going to look like. In Jesus' name, amen.